Joining us now to talk a little Final Four, the voice of the Tar Heels, Jones Angel. What's going on, Jones?
Oh, Mark, I'm doing well, man. Just looking forward to finally getting this game going tonight. It feels like it's been a long time waiting for this thing to get here, but looking forward for Carolina and Syracuse coming up this evening.
All right, Jones, why is it that this buildup seems so great? I was thinking the same thing this morning. It's been the same amount of time. It's not like that weird year they put 2 weeks in before the Super Bowl. Why does this seem like this week has lagged so much?
Well, there's only four teams, so there's only so many things to talk about at this point. And so everything's been dissected, I think, just about as finely as it can be. I think everything's been looked at as closely as it can be. Every point's been made by every talking head multiple times. So it just seems like, at this point, I think we've looked at this game at just about every angle, and now it's just time to go play it. So I know the guys are ready. The coaches are ready. I think they're confident and loose, but they also understand that they have to go out there and play well, and they'll try to do that tonight.
All right, this is the third time North Carolina is going to face Syracuse. The first time at Syracuse, Carolina wins 84-73. Second time at home, 75-70. Got a little bit closer the second time. What did Syracuse do differently to stay in the game a little bit better at Carolina?
Yeah, I know that you're right that the final score was obviously closer in the second game, but I really think both games were very competitive. I mean, Carolina did not run away against Syracuse in either game. Both of them were very close. In fact, in the first game in the Carrier Dome, Syracuse led by 6 points about halfway through the second half. And then Carolina did go on a pretty extended push. They scored on 16 of their final 19 possessions and really were able to run away in the last 8-10 minutes or so of the first game. And what Carolina did really well in that game, particularly during that stretch, was get the ball in the middle of that Syracuse zone defense. Bryce Johnson caught the ball a bunch at the high post, the 12 to 14 foot range, a shot that he's very capable of making. And multiple times when he would catch it there, the back line of that Syracuse zone would come up and Bryce would dump it down a lot of times to Isaiah Hicks, who had 21 points that day, and Bryce had a career-high 8 assists. So they were doing a lot of high-post, low-post passing. Isaiah got a bunch of dunks and layups, and I think he shot 13 free throws or 12 free throws, something like that in that game. So he got to the line a bunch as well, receiving that pass. Now, the second time they played, Syracuse did a much better job of keeping the Tar Heels out of the post. Carolina shot 25 three-pointers in that game, which was a season high. And that's not Carolina's game. That's not the way the Tar Heels are most effective scoring the ball. So, but I will say again, I think both games were very competitive. Carolina did win both, but it was not like they were dominating performances either time.
Well, we're talking to Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels, and I'm curious. There's a style matchup here, and there's, of course, the pundits have been talking about it, as you say, all week. We've ad nauseum what could happen, what might happen. Is it possible that Carolina wants to play inside tight, get inside, break that zone from the inside out, and Syracuse, because of the sight lines at NRG Stadium, might be more than willing to pack it in tight, keep that away, and invite Carolina to shoot from distance when the perspective is different in such a large stadium? Could that actually play out?
Well, there's no doubt that this is a difficult stylistic matchup for Carolina. I mean, that zone is hard to go against, guys. I do think it is a small advantage that the Tar Heels have seen Syracuse a couple of times already this year and multiple times over the last several years. Because I don't care how much film you watch or how many times you've seen Syracuse on TV or how much you've studied, going against that zone is just different when you're doing it in person. And you don't understand how athletic they are, or how long they are, how aggressive that defense is until you play against it. Now, that does not guarantee, of course, that Carolina's going to have success, but I do think that it will allow the Tar Heels not to be taken aback, not to need an adjustment period against this zone to start things off. Syracuse is willing to play in the half court, too. They're willing to slow the game down. They'd be fine winning in the 50s and 60s. Carolina would much rather play up in the 80s and 90s. But that is, it's a difficult team or a difficult thing to do to speed a team up sometimes. It's a lot easier to slow a game down. So it will be a challenge stylistically for Carolina. And the three-point shooting that you mentioned, it doesn't matter about the sight lines here in NRG, although I do think that historically we've seen that when teams have played here in the 2011 Final Four, they've also had regionals here in 2008, 2010, and 2015, that the shooting numbers are not very good. In fact, you take all the teams that played in all those NCAA tournament events in this arena and check their field goal percentage, it's below 40%. And that's a pretty large sample size and a pretty low number when you're talking about that many teams, and teams that are good teams too, because they're playing either in the Final Four or in the regionals that have been in this arena. So I do think it can affect shooting. But for Carolina, they don't want to shoot threes that much anyway. That's just not Carolina's game. This would be the lowest percentage-wise three-point shooting team in Carolina history if that percentage does not go up from where it is right now. So it is not what Carolina wants to do, regardless of where the game is being played.
Again, let's take a look back, because ironically enough, Syracuse was the first game after kind of a what I would call a funk in the middle of the season for Carolina. I mean, there was a stretch where they went 4-4. They lost to Louisville, Notre Dame, barely got by BC, beat Pitt, had the kind of the heartbreaking loss to Duke. And then kind of slowly started to turn around, had a little hiccup losing to Virginia. But then from Syracuse, now they've got a 9-game winning streak. What changed with this team from that 4-4 kind of not looking like a number one team in the country kind of effort that they were putting forth?
Well, I'll first say that, you know, a lot of teams are going to go 4-4 in that stretch. You know, I think the Carolina just hit a stretch where they had some really difficult games. You know, three of those four losses were on the road. In fact, five of Carolina's six losses this year are on the road. Every loss that Carolina had was to an NCAA tournament team, except for Louisville, and the Cardinals would have been, I think we can all agree, a tournament team had they been eligible for it this season. But I think also that the Tar Heels learned from every one of those losses. And in fact, the last loss before the stretch that you're referencing was to Virginia. And I think Carolina realized that day, which they played in Charlottesville on a Saturday night and did not play poorly. They played pretty well and still lost the game. And so I think they left that game realizing, hey, it's going to take more than just playing pretty well. You know, they need to have a little more precision, a little more execution, a little more consistent defensive effort. It's got to be 95% for Carolina is pretty good, and it's going to get them wins against most teams. But there are some teams that 95% wasn't good enough against. And so they realized that it needed to be one more level up. And I think you really started to see it in that regular season finale at Duke. And then the ACC tournament, I thought Carolina played some of its best basketball season, those three games in D.C., particularly on the defensive end, because Carolina's always been able to score, but I thought they really ratcheted up their defense in that ACC event, and it was noticeable against good teams, Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, and Virginia, who were all NCAA tournament teams. And then in this event, the NCAA tournament, the defense hasn't been as consistently good, although there have been moments in every game where the Tar Heel D has been pretty good. But what's been phenomenal has been Carolina's offensive execution. They're shooting a high percentage. They're getting terrific shots. They're getting production from across the lineup. They've made three-pointers at a higher rate than they did during the season. We just talked some about that. They continue to get the ball inside. They're getting to the free throw line. They've played at different tempos in one games. They've seen different styles and been able to win. So they've just been playing at a really, really high level all the way across the board, particularly on the offensive end in this event.
Well, all season long, people have thought they were the best team in the country, which, you know, when Dukie J. Billis even acknowledges that, that's big. So that Carolina's the most talented, potentially the best team in the country that is the prohibitive favorite. How does Roy Williams handle a weekend like this, preparing this team to be really, I mean, an outright favorite to close this thing out on Monday? How does he handle that?
You know, I think the Tar Heels understand that they're playing at a very high level. They understand that if they continue to play to the level in which they have been playing, that they have a good chance for success. And But I also think they understand that the other three teams here aren't here by accident. You don't get to the Final Four by luck. I mean, you didn't win one game to get here. You've won four games against some pretty good teams to get to this point of this tournament. So you're doing something well if you're here. And so I think Carolina gets that too. They get that this is that there are three really good teams here in addition to the Tar Heels. And let's not forget, I mean, Oklahoma and Villanova on the other side of the other game tonight, both those teams were ranked number one for several weeks this year. So it's not like these are just Johnny-come-latelys who are figuring out how to play basketball right now. They've had tremendous seasons. And Syracuse is one of the most historical programs. They have a Hall of Fame head coach, and they're playing great. So, I mean, it's not just like they're going to roll the ball out there and hand the trophy to Carolina after they dribble it around a little bit. So the Tar Heels understand they have to continue to play at that high level. Now, I think also they're not just happy to be here. I mean, they are excited they have made the Final Four. This was a big step for this particular group of players. But I think they also get how close they are to doing something special, and they seem pretty locked in to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting there and you told me, what would you be more surprised about, that Syracuse gets beat in the first round or they end up in the Final Four? I mean, this is a team that lost 5 of 6 to end the season. They had a stretch where they lost 4 in a row, including losing to my Clemson Tigers, who didn't even make the NIT, for Pete's sake. I mean, what happened with this team? And I mean, you talk about flipping a switch.
I think a couple different things happened for them. One, the bracket for them did open up a little bit in the Midwest bracket, you know, especially with Middle Tennessee upsetting Michigan State. And so Syracuse was able to play Middle Tennessee in the round of 32 to move on. Now, all that means is sometimes that happens in this event. I mean, sometimes other teams get upset and you end up getting a little bit of an easier pass, but you still have to beat the teams in front of you. And obviously Middle Tennessee was a pretty good team as they were able to beat Michigan State. And so, but I do think they got a little bit of a break there. But what's really been the biggest deal is they've just been playing tremendously well, particularly defensively. I mean, they're holding teams right now to 36% shooting in the NCAA tournament. That's an extraordinarily low number, particularly in college basketball. Now where the freedom of movement rules are really encouraging offense. And so to hold teams down like that has been extraordinarily impressive. And it's a team, guys, I think that's playing with a lot of confidence in that. I mean, they were down 9 points in the round of 16 to Gonzaga with just a couple minutes left, came back and won. They were down 16 early in the second half to Virginia and down 15 with 9.5 minutes to go, and came back and really beat what I thought was an extraordinarily good Virginia team. So it's a team that's feeling like right now that it's kind of got a horseshoe along with it, that it's playing with a little bit of extra something going on, and they're making it happen, even when it doesn't look real good on the court. And so I think when you have a team that has talented players, that has a Hall of Fame head coach who clearly knows what he's doing in Jim Boeheim, and a team that feels very confident right now in Syracuse, that's a very dangerous combination.
Well, Jones, man, we appreciate you coming on. We look forward to actually getting the games played tonight, and hopefully we'll see you on Monday night.
Thanks so much, guys. Always appreciate it, and always look forward to talking with you.
All right. That's Jones Angel, the voice of the Carolina Tar Heels.